Welcome to The Download, everybody, here on WGN Radio, live from the Chicago Auto Show here at McCormick Place. How about it? Man, look at this place. Woo! We are in the newer side. I was hoping we'd be in the Lakeside East Center, where it was just concrete. That's all that's over there now. No, I'm Justin Coffin here on WGN Radio with you live till 10 o'clock tonight. Live from the auto show. This is great. You know you've arrived in radio when you get a chance to do live from the auto show. The auto show is the largest in the country, and this year marks the 108th time that the auto show has been in Chicago. First staged here in 1901. How about that? How about that for history? There you go, huh? Well, we got a great show for you tonight. Hoping you're safe and sound during this tumultuous weather, Dave. Come on. We can't have nice things, can we? Spring-like weather, but you lose power. I guess it's February. Tonight, Mike McGrath Jr. is going to stop by. He's the co-chair of the Chicago Auto Show and part of the McGrath dealership family. We'll talk about Chicago's connection to the auto industry, the current climate for selling cars, and what we should expect from the industry here in Chicago in the near future. Also tonight, architecture and history writer Lee Bay will stop by to talk about the auto show in this building, McCormick Place. We're also going to talk about the South Loop and its history as Chicago's Motor Row. Also, we're going to have to talk about Lucas Museum. It's been too long. I feel like every time Lee comes on, that's what we've been talking about. Now it's back in the news. It's perfect. Talk with Lee. He'll be coming up here later this hour. And it's Friday, so it's time to play the frying pan. Everybody here in the auto show knows the frying pan, right? Entrepreneur Steve Gadlin will join us with a new car-related invention. We, Download Nation, will give it a yay or a nay. I can't wait to maybe wrangle some auto show visitors to ask some questions of Steve and his car-themed idea for the frying pan tonight. That'll be coming up at 9 o'clock. News, weather, and traffic all night with Rob Martier. And production by Pete Zimmerman here at the Auto Show. This is great. I'm loving it. And this is a download. I'm Justin Coffin. Why don't we start with the carryout? We'll do the carryout live. What do you think? Of course, this is the nightly segment where I read the newspaper, so you don't have to. Here are today's top stories. You know, if you're in the market for loose patio furniture or grill covers, today's your day. If not, today just sucks. What a terrible weather day. 103,000 people lost power because of 60-mile-per-hour winds. Traffic is a nightmare everywhere thanks to stoplights and debris. Roofs fell off buildings. Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria. Ay, ay, ay. L trains, metro trains, airplanes all affected. But a great day for wind power, right? Those turbines are probably making a fortune. Well, it doesn't work that way? I thought it worked that way. I guess I should pay more attention to alternative energy. ComEd and Comcast and AT&T and the other utility companies are working around the clock to get it back up to speed. But you know what? I'm going to be honest. Are they? I mean, I kind of assume they are. That's like an old news cliche. But what do I know? You're probably clocked out at 6 o'clock and they're like, we'll deal with this tomorrow. Not something we're gonna... And, you know, if your power or your internet is still out by tomorrow, let's all collectively call the companies and make sure we're not getting charged. That's the one thing I always ask. Like, they can meter you to the cent. So let's meter them to 15 cents. Let's get a 15-cent rebate, all for Chicago, just because we didn't have power for a couple hours. What do you think? I'm in. Springfield was also super windy today, and it wasn't the weather. Governor Rauner vetoed the bill put forth to fund scholarships and MAP grants for low-income students. He and other Republicans said there's no money to pay for this and instead turned around and put forth another bill to fund education with a catch. We'll give you $1.6 billion and throw in a little tiny addition that says that from here on out, the governor's in charge of the budget, which, of course, is a non-starter, and it's not about scholarships, students, or anything to do with schools. So like a bad 80s Nintendo game, we start back at the beginning. Jewel Osco pulled some Parmesan cheese from the shelves after it tested for high levels of wood pulp. What? Wait, you're telling me that dry goods at the grocery stores aren't actually food? No. Next, you're going to tell me there's no cherries in this Diet Vanilla Cherry Coke Zero I'm drinking. Or how about that Velveeta cheese is not actually cheese? Or that Twizzlers aren't really Twizzlers? Wait, what is actually a Twizzler made of? Is that just like melted plastic? It feels like it's melted soft plastic. Cherry flavored, though. A New York judge denied a temporary injunction in the case of Kesha versus Sony Music. Kesha has alleged that famed super producer Dr. Lou raped her when she was 18 years old, and she doesn't want to work with him anymore. But the judge said, nope, get back in the studio, because Sony would lose too much money if they gave up the contract. So don't really have a joke for that one. Just wow. Wow. That's new. And weather, you know what? I speak for everybody here when I say, okay, enough. Enough weather, right? So I don't like when weather becomes the, when it becomes the story, right? That's the joke. When it becomes the weather becomes the story. That's enough weather. All right, in sports, the Bulls got drubbed by the Cavs last night. Not a good start to the second half of the season. Derrick Rose was asked. He's like, no, it's all good. It's not good. Today was the opening of Cubs camp. Tomorrow, manager Joe Maddon said the team needs to embrace the target of high expectations, which I've never really, I thought it was embrace the target on your backs. I've never actually heard the cliche, you got to, hey, you know what? You got a target of high expectation. You got to watch out. It's a weird thing to say. The Blackhawks are in Minnesota for the big outdoor game this weekend. Oh, man. It'd be freakishly awesome if that game was tonight and it was at Soldier Field. Right? Just think about that. How, like, what would a wind, like 60-mile-per-hour wind gust do to an outdoor hockey game? Would it, like, give them a little bit of oomph? Like these hockey players go a lot faster when they crash into the boards? I don't know. So, I don't know. I don't think that's the case. I think it'll be 20 degrees in Minnesota. It'll be boring. All right, we come back. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to continue to let's do some auto show specific carryout jokes. Does that sound good? I'm Justin Kaufman. This is The Download here on WGN, live from the auto show at McCormick Place. Stay with us. We're broadcasting live from the 2016 Chicago Auto Show here at McCormick Place, where you'll find a million square feet of everything new in the automotive world. It's a download. I'm Justin Kaufman, WGN Radio, with you till 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock tonight. Very excited. I feel nice bump in there, Zim. Heidemann's back in the studio, but joining me now at the table is architecture and historian Lee Bay. Lee has been a former Chicago Sun-Times columnist. He's worked for all sorts of different places. He worked with me over at Public Media. Lee, good to see you.
Good to see you. Good to be here.
You're kind of like the historian for McCormick Place. You're like the guy who knows everything about this building.
Somebody's got to be.
This
somebody's
is the
be.
New side.
This is. This is a new side, you know, built around, you know, I guess about 15 years ago now. And, you know, bigger than it was last time I was here to see Auto Show. I tell you that. You know, the last time I was here, I think I told you this, the last time I was here was in the old, you know, the old McCormick Place. Not the one that burned down, but the one that's there now, Lakeside Center. And, you know, I haven't been here since Ford introduced the LTD2, which was a bomb. Well, if they dropped a thing on a country, we could have invaded it the next day. It was bad, man.
What would that have been, like the late 80s?
77.
I'm off a decade.
The LTD2.
Lee Bay.
Isn't it
you? Haven't been back to the car show since 1977?
That's right, since I was 12. Isn't it you in an LTD2? And the answer was no, because nobody bought the doggone thing, but there you go.
Well, it's great to be here at the auto show. It's tremendous. I kind of joked. I'm like, oh, I finally arrived in radio when That's I get to broadcast cool. live at the Chicago Auto Show. But it is, if you look out, there's this just unbelievable displays for Chevy, for Honda. Behind us is Toyota. Kia's got a little spot. ABC's got a spot next door where you can actually go and get your picture like you're a newscaster, like they put you behind the camera. I heard that's how Ryan Cheverini got hired. No? Come on. We love Ryan. I'm joking around. It does seem like I want to go over there and get that picture, though.
I might do that in a way.
There's also a social media lounge, which is just the way they dress up. You can charge your phone. It's a phone charging station, but they're like, it's social media.
It's a nice furniture, though. Nice furniture.
Yeah, they do have some furniture for kids to ruin here at the Chicago Auto Show. All right, I got a couple jokes before we get in, because I want to talk to you, Lee, and we got the hour here until 8 mm-hmm. to talk about Chicago's Motor Row. Tremendous history right around this building, exactly. Right around this area, and we'll talk about South Michigan Avenue and how the auto industry at one time dominated the South Loop. Mm-hmm. It's not, I mean, I don't even know, there's not, they're trying, I mean, it's a historical district, but there's not a lot left, and we'll talk about what's left that shows to that heyday.
Sure.
Coming up, but, you know, before we do that, I think we should probably do a couple auto show jokes. Right, some carry-out jokes that we have here. Let me try. You know, so many great manufacturers here and so many great storylines. You've seen that we're at the Friday night. This is the last Friday night of the auto show. The weekend is it for the Chicago Auto Show, the largest auto show in the country. Nissan's always been at the forefront of camera-assisting technology ever since it introduced the backup camera in 2000. You know that backup?
That's right.
Yeah, right. The 2016 models debuting at the Chicago Auto Show are now equipped with four cameras. Four
It's more than one, Seinfeld.
One for backing up, two for lane changing, and one to watch yourself get in an accident while you're watching the camera. No? This is one guy staring at us. What does that mean? I think it's a Nissan guy. It's like, that is not accurate. Yes, I'm with the Nissan company. I'd like to say that is not accurate. We do not have a fourth camera that will get you in an accident. Chevy has released their restyled Trax subcompact crossover. The Trax has already been voted the most popular car, named after sneakers I got made fun of wearing as a kid. Coming in a close second, the Kia Kangaroo. Or how about the Ford Basics? Anyone? What was your childhood shoe that you would be made fun of? What was your generic brand shoe?
Jeeps from Sears. You remember those? You probably don't remember those things. They look like All-Stars, Conference All-Stars, and then someone would invariably pull up your pants and not see the star. And, oh, you got Jeeps on, and then you'd be
Jeeps,
made fun of.
He's got Jeeps. Yeah. The new Jeep Jeeps.
That's right.
The new Jeep Jeeps. The new Jeep Jeeps. That's great. And Jeep, speaking of Jeep, unveiled a new line of dirt, rocks, and puddles for its 2016 models to drive over. It's like every time you see a Jeep commercial, there's just like fake rocks.
Yeah. It's true. It's true.
Are you a car guy?
I am, a little bit, a little bit.
You like? I mean, what's a go-to car for Lee Bay?
New or old?
Let's go with old.
Old would be a 1961 Lincoln Continental with suicide doors and a drop top.
Jeez. Wow, exactly. That was specific.
Yeah, very much. Very much
I thought you were going to go, I kind of like a sedan.
Yeah, a Granada.
That's Zimmerman's, too. That's great.
Yeah, see, that's
okay,
what you
need. Okay, what's a new one?
I'm hoping that they reintroduce the 1961 Lincoln with the drop top. But I'm waiting 50 years for that so far.
I feel like, you know, this is kind of weird because, I'm close to the end of my car. Like, I have a Honda, and I've had it for, like, 11 years. So I just started thinking about, maybe I got to start thinking about a new car. And here I am at the auto show, right?
That's right.
Kind of weird. Right. Maybe it's like kismet. Maybe I could walk out of here with one of those little neon green Chevy Trax.
Nobody would notice. Take it. There's not even a crowd around it.
I feel like every time I see one of these shiny new cars and you see they're kind of like rotating, or some are rotating, some that have lights on them, I just think Transformers. Like, yeah, when you see them, like, it looks like they're all Transformers. Like, they're just going to blow up, you know? Chevrolet is unveiling their new line of Transformers, including the performance model Camaro 1LE, which changes from a car to a midlife crisis solution. That's good. No word yet on which of their 2016s will turn evil and destroy downtown Chicago again. That would be a great thing. Does this car destroy downtown Chicago? It does. It transforms, and it's got rockets and missiles. Oh, yeah, I'll take it. What's the financing on this? That would be good. Also, Kia's here, which is awesome. So Kia's here, which is cool. Kia has unveiled a slate of 20 new vehicles for the next 5 years. How about that? No word yet on what breakdancing anthropomorphic rodent they've chose to send that message to the public. Hey, everybody! I'm just thinking about what it could be. One of those. What would be the best rodent to be a car mascot? I would say maybe a possum. You know, because those things are like, they're kind of cute, but when you get close, they're super mean, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're protect, so like, if somebody's trying to break into a car, you got a possum. It's like, wow. I don't know. Maybe. All right, let's take a break. We come back more with Lee Bay. We're gonna talk about Chicago's Motor Row, the history. Where you're standing here in McCormick Place, or this area of the South Loop, used to be home to the Chicago automotive industry, not just car dealerships, but factories and places to buy parts and sell parts. And we'll talk more with Lee when we come back here on The Download, live from the Chicago Auto Show. Rob Martier is here with the news. Hey, Rob, can you hear me?
I can. How is everything out there?
It's good. You want me to pick up a car for you?
You know what? I'll take a 2016 Mustang Shelby. I'd like it blue with the white racing stripes. I'd like the fully loaded.
You know what? I'll just get you a churro, because I got churros right here.
You know what? I'll take a churro.
They look really good.
Yeah, I'm kind of hungry.
I wish you were here, Rob. It's an amazing sight to see all the cars, but also a tremendous amount of people here on a Friday night.
I know, a lot of fun. I love the auto show.
Yeah. Are you coming to the auto show a lot?
I have in the past. It's been a couple years, but I love when I go out there. It's fantastic.
There you go, man. There you go. All right. Well, we'll see what we can do about getting you that car.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, so download here live at the Chicago Auto Show at McCormick Place. I'm Justin Kaufman here with you till 10 o'clock tonight. I'm very excited to be they've got us elevated right at the entrance to the McCormick Place, the new McCormick Place side. It's beautiful, but we're elevated up, so it almost is like, this is our kingdom. The kingdom
of cars.
Lee Bay, architecture, and I would say urban planning historian. Is that?
Sure.
What do I want? What should I call you?
Anything. Anything. Just whatever.
Well, my favorite blog, and probably one of the best names of all time, Beyond the Boat Tour, you did for public media, which was a great read and awesome.
Thank you.
Look at history and everything about Chicago. And one of the things I remember talking to you about years ago, mm-hmm. I mean, this is like maybe, you know, early 2000s, was about the move to make a historic district for Chicago's Motor Row.
Indeed.
Talk about Motor Row. A lot of people don't recognize or realize that Chicago's, where we're at McCormick Place, or even in the South Loop area, used to be where the automotive industry set up shop.
You know, it really is, and it's fun, kind of fun, that the auto show returns here, because it sort of brings the car back to its roots. But down Michigan Avenue from Cermak to roughly from 22nd Street, I guess around 25th, 26th Street along Michigan, were early auto dealerships. And we're talking really early, like 1905. I mean, there's cars like Locomobile and Hupmobile, things that are no longer made. And they set up shop here to sell their cars. And then in the nearby streets and on the strip, there are auto parts makers, people who made chrome, put chrome on bumpers and that kind of thing, who set up shop around here as well. And the reason why is because Michigan Avenue was smooth. So when you bought your 1905 Ford model, whatever it is, you know, you could mask how bumpy the thing was by riding down. No, I shouldn't say that. But it was a smooth street, and it was a great spot to sort of set up.
About 1905. I mean, how long did Motor Row exist in Chicago? I mean, because I think of the South Loop was an interesting place during the Al Capone years. Like, yeah. Where was Chicago's Motor Row in the early part of the 20th century?
You know, it lasted as a really intact entity up until World War II, and then even up until the 80s and 90s, there were still elements of it here where you can get your car fixed at Cermak and I think State, and there was a Pontiac, there was a Chevrolet dealership, City Chevrolet, which I can't remember whether it's here or not, but there's always been a Chevrolet dealership somewhere around. Rogers Pontiac, a little further south, is kind of a remnant of that. So, you know, bits and pieces of it is still here. So the idea was to landmark these buildings to protect their history, but also, very frankly, to stop the ever-expanding McCormick Place from demolishing those buildings and going further.
It's a little bit ironic that we're in the building which is celebrating the automotive industry in Chicago. It's the biggest car show in the country. Mm-hmm. But it's also, you know, one of the reasons that the historic district, Chicago's Motor Row, is there is because this area, they wanted this area for trade shows, for business, for all that kind of stuff. They want to rethink South Loop of Chicago.
Exactly. And then in these preserved buildings could be an entertainment district. So, you know, so that's sort of what's been talked about now. Now that the buildings are preserved, what do you do with them? I don't know whether you remember this, but maybe 3 or 4 years ago, there was a plan for a Cheap Trick themed nightclub that was going to be down here as well. So the idea that this could be a place where, that the Motor Row can be a place where, after you've done your thing here, whatever it is, seen the auto show, whatever you're going to do, that you can go right next door to Motor Row and...
Now, that's a question, because, you know, there's a lot of history and we're glossing over a lot of years, but mm-hmm. when you think about making this a district, and not just necessarily a historic district, but there were plans to sort of revitalize this. Were there any plans to honor what it was, meaning bring any sort of automotive history or even present-day industry back to this area?
You know, beyond signage and that kind of thing, you know, you know, likely not. You know, the as this gives witness to, I mean, the way we sell and market cars has changed so much. You know, the Motor Row of the early part of the 20th century becomes the Cicero Avenue later on, and then ultimately the Schomburg, where you go buy your car,
right?
Or someplace.
Is that how mm-hmm. it kind of worked? I mean, when Motor Row started to dismantle after World War II, is that it kind of went out to Western Avenue, it went to Cicero, went a little bit further to those bigger sort of double lane
highways and lots. You can get a lot. You can get a ton of cars on a lot and move them and make your money through through the volume of having to sell five Mustangs if you can, as opposed to one Locomobile, right. to the rich guy, and, you know, so that kind of thing. So the as the economy changed, it needed larger and larger spaces to do business.
It's mostly suburban, but you still, if you go down Western Avenue, you still see a lot of car dealerships.
You do.
In Chicago.
You do. Yeah.
So let's talk about, you know, when you think of Motor Row, I mean, Chicago has had such a great, and I'm going to talk, Mike McGrath Jr. is going to come on in a little bit. He's the co-chair of the show here. We talk about the automotive industry and its history here in Chicago, because it did have at some point, like, very robust, not just the dealerships, but the plants, you know, Ford and Chevy and so forth. That's not around as much as it should be.
As it should be. But, you know, Ford, the Ford plant on the southeast side at 130th and Torrance is expanding. You know, even as it becomes more automated, there are fewer workers, but there's still jobs there. But, you know, Ford City, you know, where the Tucker automobile was almost made, the Preston Tucker's automobile was almost made back in the mid part of the last century. You know, so there's always been this history, you know, because you've got access to roads, rail, all the things you need to make a car. But it still hangs on with Ford, which is better than nothing, believe me.
Lee, let me ask you, you know, would you consider Chicago a car town?
As a driver, yeah.
But I mean, as a historian, do you say that, like, the Motor Row and the other places we're talking about, does that sort of harken back to a time when Chicago played a huge instrumental role in the automotive industry in America? I mean, because you always hear about Detroit, you always hear about other areas, but what role does Chicago play in all that?
You know, an important role, but not as huge as Detroit. I mean, Detroit is where they made the automobile, where the raw materials came in through the rail, out the lake, the water, you know, and out of that you could produce an Edsel, or a Cadillac Coupe de Ville. You know, we didn't have that here. I mean, although, you know, again, there was the Ford plant, which produced cars, but, you know, they had an entire industry there. And the good thing about that is that when that industry suffered, you know, it brought the city down with it. Detroit, we didn't sort of have those things. We did have auto parts manufacturers around here and some aftermarket things. In fact, Chess Records, the famed Chess Records here in the South Loop, its early life was a member of Motor Row as I want to say a radiator place. Someone's going to correct me, but it was an auto parts place as well. So the good thing is that, you know, not having that dependency. Can you imagine when the car industry and the steel industry died, if we were as dependent on cars in the 70s as Detroit was dependent, and our steel industry died, you know, we couldn't recover.
Well, you know, it's Chicago's Motor Row. I mean, as you look to the near future, I mean, you see, you know, Chicago spending a lot of time and advocates spending time for different neighborhoods to either landmark them or to build them up, to do things. What do you see happening to this area, to the South Michigan corridor there where Chicago's Motor Row was home?
You know, I think it becomes an entertainment district. Probably, you know, just my guess, probably not necessarily for the conventioners as intended, but for the new residents and high rises that are coming online or will be coming online up and down Michigan Avenue over the next five to seven years, that all these people need places to eat, to dance, to do those kind of things. And I think these buildings, as they're reused, are going to, particularly at the ground level, are going to be used for that purpose.
Hey, everybody's got to eat and everybody's got to dance.
That's right.
Let's take a break. Lee Bay is here with me at the Chicago Auto Show. We're live at McCormick Place. It's a download on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I am not lying when I'm looking forward to it. I've got the bug. Now I just want to do live shows in front of everybody, right? We're going to be at Pequod's Pizza on Tuesday, the download here on WGN Radio, 720 WGN. I have to say that so many people walk by and are like, what is this? What's going on here? I got to keep saying that every question, Pete. Every time I ask Lee a question, I'm like, tell me about Chicago's Motor Row on 720 WGN. Yeah, coming up, we got Pequod's Pizza on Tuesday, which is going to be great. Josh Caterer from the Smoky Popes will join us. We'll also have a legend from the Chicago Blackhawks. Representative Mike Quigley will join us to talk about. He represents the Pequod's area, so we'll ask him. I mean, he's not. I wish he was in the Senate. I wish he was our senator, because then we could say, are you gonna move forward on this appointment or not? What are you gonna do? Now he's in the House. Who cares what's going on in the House? Nothing's going on in the House. We'll have a lot going on at the Pequod's Pizza, 2207 North Clybourne Avenue, coming up on Tuesday. Right now, Lee Bay is with me. Lee Bay, architecture and history writer here in Chicago. He's worked for several publications, the Chicago Sun-Times. He's a columnist there. He worked for Chicago Public Media, WBEZ, for a long time. He also worked for the mayor's office.
That's right.
And he also sits on a committee. One of my favorite things, and if you're a listener to The Download, you know Lee and I have talked about this many times, but he was one of the on the committee for either picking the site or designed up all of the Lucas Museum, mm-hmm. which is back in the news.
Back in the news.
As I said it was going to, because a judge did not throw out the lawsuit from Friends of the Park. So there is going to be a decision made on whether or not it is sacred land to build on, and you cannot build a museum where there's a Soldier Field parking lot. So what do you think of this? What do you think? I haven't had a chance to talk to you. I mean, what do you think of sort of the articles that have come out about this and the way that it seems like the mayor might be backtracking a little bit?
It's a tricky thing. You know, there was a 14-member committee, so we all made the decision together to pick the site that's picked. You know, so watching it now, it's kind of surprising because it's like, well, you know, we thought we gave the best site, and but it's really interesting. I mean, I'm hoping something can be worked out, but it is good that the mayor is at least looking at some other sites because I think that's prudent.
What do you think? I mean, mm-hmm. do you think at this point that a judge could say yes? I'm holding up the sort of, you know, old Chicago law, the Burnham rule, like you can't build on the lakefront. I mean, you see that could possibly come down?
You know, I hate to even guess what a judge might do in this case. You know, and in this case, it's interesting because it's really an interesting read of the law because it isn't the way we usually think of not being able to build on the lakefront. The idea is that this was once submerged land, and as that, it belongs to the state of Illinois. And when you build it up, it is merely reclaimed submerged land, which means the city by itself doesn't have the legal right to decide
wow.
who gets it and who isn't. And that it should have gone through some state approval first, and it didn't. And that by passing a law after you've given Lease Lucas the land, that doesn't
this was repair. The law that was in the state house that we all scratched our head on.
Exactly.
That was, we thought was really about the Obama Library, right? The
exactly.
idea that, yeah, so,
yeah.
But it's interesting because, you know, in the committee, I mean, where else would you put it? I mean, you guys were the ones in there. I mean, you had to, did you guys get, were you so arrogant that you're like, it's just one spot, that's it, kaboom?
We met once and we said, that's it. No, the body met pretty deliberately over, I want to say 6 weeks, and kind of came to this site after looking at, you know, tons of others. You know, the issue is that the Lucas Museum is about the footprint, well, the square footage is going to be around the size of the Field Museum. So that's big, and it has to be, and you know, he wants to build a new building. So that takes away a lot of the places where you can put it. You can't adaptively reuse a building,
right.
Perhaps like Lakeside Center or McCormick Place, as a former architecture critic may have suggested.
You've been looking for something to go into that building because you love that building, and it's sitting there vacant, and it's costing money.
Great piece of modernism. The public owns it.
That's such a great idea.
But it's going to need a lot of money to fix it up.
And it looks Star Wars-y.
It does look Star Wars-y. It does. But, you know, once the criteria are sort of set up, you know, it really limited the places where you can put it. And the idea also, though, is that by putting it south of Soldier Field, we really thought that it would enact the transit fixes that have been needed in that area. I mean, you've been to a Bears game and you've been to taking your kid to the museum, and it's
right.
it's a cluster to get
yes.
there,
yes.
right?
Right.
And so the idea that putting this there could fix the transit, could help spark transit fixes that would improve
so
the entire
So by putting
campus.
It there, that would force the hand of the CTA or Metra to add more lines, to do different things, to add more transit options that would help out with the cluster.
Exactly,
right.
exactly. And also, you know, speaking as Lee Bay and not as a member of the committee, you know, there was another governor in at the time, and Quinn was there.
Right.
And, you know, back in the days of naivete, when we thought governors would work with cities to help improve things, the idea was, well, you know, you got a friend in Springfield, you got a friend in Washington with the president, then maybe this could be a good chance to get those fixes. Now it turns, you know, now with the new guy, with this
so
new
that,
guy.
So if the lawsuit says, yes, you needed to get state approval, does it go to the state then? Does it go to Governor Rauner to come up with to say, yeah, you can have that spot?
You know, if I had hair, it would have just stood up at the mere mention of that. But it would start the ball all,
right.
all over again. And then at that point, and again, not speaking for George Lucas, which I would never do and couldn't if
no,
I tried,
right.
you know, then he's got to look at, you know, do I want to you know, do I want the clock? Once the clock is reset, do I want to play that long?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And, I mean, but and it's it seems like that would be a not what we want to do. Say anything that needs to get done quickly to go down the Springfield not be a good idea.
Yeah.
As you sit here, Lee, and you think about it, you've done so much just in the recent months on documenting, taking photos of the old McCormick Place. You've written about McCormick Place. You've talked about McCormick Place. Sitting here right now and seeing what we see at the Chicago Auto Show, what's it conjure up?
For that old building, that one that it needs to be reused.
Just for all of this, just the idea.
You know, for all of this is that we tend to think of convention centers just as something that you go see the radiology show or you don't, but they really become the economic engines of cities. I mean, the people once they leave here, even when they're in here, they're spending money, they're taking transit, they're doing all the things that help. They're keeping hotels alive, and they really do. This is why everyone, Orlando, Las Vegas, all these cities are all trying to build the world's largest one and maintain the world's largest one.
Right.
Who's got the biggest convention center becomes the arms race of the age, because people understand what these things do for a city.
Now, we're going to see some changes to this area in the next couple of years. I mean, there's a basketball stadium that's coming in a little bit to the west.
Yeah.
But there always seems to be changes in plans. Mm-hmm. Do you see that's going to be a good thing for Chicago?
It is. I mean, one of these things that these places can get as stale as a, they can get as old as a leisure suit very quickly, And the idea is that
back to the 70s,
man. Yeah, I was wearing me and Lee Majors were both wearing our leisure suits to see the LTD too. But these things can get old pretty quickly. So the idea is you keep them fresh and you're always adding things. There'll be hotels down here. There'll be other things down here, and it'll always be this fresh mix of things. So you come to town in 1 year and you come back 3 years later and there's something new that you haven't seen before. All of this is part of keeping the area dynamic and really keeping a city dynamic.
So the last thing, we haven't talked about, and we'll talk about it again because it's just the Chicago way.
Uh-huh.
I love the idea of putting the casino in the old McCormick Place. If there ever is going to be a Chicago casino, I don't even know where that's at. but when you think about this area, it is tailor-made for more expansion.
Exactly. But I'm told that you don't see. And I think we've had this discussion a million years ago that I didn't really understand what casinos were other than James Bond movies. So I thought, build one, because people are going to be in bow ties and women in party dresses. And so I saw one in a city that I won't name, and I thought, nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. So I think the idea is that that casinos and convention centers, at least in this town, won't go together because you want people to come and enjoy the convention and be a part of it, and then you want gambling someplace else. You don't want it too close to downtown as well.
Because they're already counting on tourist dollars to be spent on Michigan Avenue and other places that maybe a casino would rob from.
Exactly.
The culture
and,
in a town like
and
this.
They don't throw off as much money as we tend to think they do. It's not like Monte Carlo. It's more like A79 Monte Carlo. Where it's just something that it doesn't have use beyond a certain time span.
We got very late 70s on this episode of The Download. I love it. Lee Bay, architecture and contributor and historian here. I won't call you like the regular architecture contributor for The Download, since this is probably your fifth or sixth time on. You could find all your work. I mean, you have a blog at certain points, and you're always writing about the latest thing that's happening here in Chicago.
On Facebook, you can follow
Facebook.
Me there.
Yeah, there you go. Lee Bay. Lee, great to see you. Thanks for coming down to
great
the
to
Auto
see you
Show.
Too.
Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman, broadcasting live from the 2016 Chicago Auto Show here at McCormick Place, where you'll find a million square feet of everything new in the automotive world. I got to say, droves of people coming through here. Friday night, since the Bulls have kind of tapered off, nobody wants to go see them at the UC. They'll go to the car show instead. All right, coming up tonight, Steve Gadlin, entrepreneur, is going to be with us for the Frying Pan coming up at 9 o'clock. And at 10 o'clock, we'll be back in studio. We're going to have BJ the Chicago Kid, R&B artist who just put out a brand new record. I mean, it is blowing up. He's just announced today he's playing Pitchfork. And he's also on the track with Kendrick Lamar, Chance the Rapper, a ton of people. BJ the Chicago Kid coming up in the 10 o'clock hour tonight. Well, Mike McGrath knows cars. His dealership, McGrath, Lexus, and the other McGrath dealerships have been selling automobiles in this town for years. You know the jingle. when you do the math, you choose McGrath, right? The McGrath family owns several dealerships in the Chicago area, and the business has stayed in the family, passed from generation to generation. Well, what does it take to run a successful car dealership in Chicago? A good commercial, maybe? I don't know. Guest tonight knows. He's my guest at the big table, Mike McGrath. He's the co-chair of this year's Chicago Auto Show. Mike, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here and a big fan.
I have seen you on so much media in the last week. Like, when do you sleep, man? Like, it's like crazy. I saw you this morning on ABC at like 7 in the morning.
Yeah, you know, I'm down here at 5:30 and do the morning news several days this week. But, you know, you find your time and napped between 11 and 1 today.
What does it take to co-chair the Chicago Auto Show? I mean, for you, what are you doing throughout the week?
Well, you know, this week is the culmination of a year worth of work. You know, it starts out probably in June when we buy the show space. We buy 1 million square feet, and then we go to the manufacturers to sell it so they can come out and promote their product and bring in their show kits and bring out their best cars that not only are offered today, but cars that are, you know, down the line in the future, which are the concept vehicles. You know, we then get into the promotion of the show and align ourselves with our media partners, charities, 18 local charities in Chicago.
This is a year-round event. I mean, you run dealerships. How do you find time to do this as well?
Well, you know, I'm passionate about the industry. You know, it's been good to me personally. It's been great to our family. And a lot of my friends that are, you know, successful in this industry too. So, you know, when you hit a certain point in life and you find everything come together and you do well at it, you find ways to give back. You know, and this is something that I've been passionate about since a kid. I was brought here to the auto show at 5, and
wow,
every year after that. And this love affair of cars, not just, you know, synonymous with me as a car dealer. I mean, look at all the people here on a Friday night. There's tens of thousands of people here. It's truly amazing. I'm inspired every year by all the people that come out.
Mike, let me ask you, you mentioned being a kid, and obviously your family has passed on cars from generation to generation. How did you get started in it? I mean, you know, because there'll be stories about, hey, here's the keys to a dealership, kid. But I mean, for your family, it's a lot more about getting immersed in the industry.
It is. You know, I have brothers that are in the business and brothers that are out of the business. And my father, too, came from a family of 7. And there's kids in the business and brothers and sisters that aren't. And, you know, it starts with, like any job, you know, having a passion for it gives you a good chance to succeed. And I loved cars as a kid. My dad was a dealer in 1971. I was born in 72. And my dad, working retail hours, the only time I really got to spend with him was going in the store and hanging out with them for a little bit. And, you know, that turned into washing cars and stocking parts shelves and stocking brochures, pulling up cars as I, you know, became a teenager and, you know, started selling them when I was 16.
When you were 16, I mean, you know, think about, you know, as people embark in their life, like, what am I going to do for a living? When you were 16 years old, you're like, I'm doing cars?
No, but it was when I started making real money at 16. That's when I knew I was going to do cars. I worked my way up in the store doing all the odds and end jobs. But when I was put on the sales floor at 16, I was a junior in high school. And I played sports in the fall and in the winter. And then spring through summer, I would go to work from, you know, 3 to 9. And, you know, I was bringing home checks as much as my friends' families were making for the family, which seemed like all the money in the world when I was that age. But it also gave me, you know, the encouragement to follow it and pursue it in a level where you take the big risks and the big investments.
You know, there's so much. This town is we just had a conversation with Lee Bay about the automotive history here, whether it's Shimoda Row in Chicago, but just the idea that, you know, dealerships play a huge role in the economy of this town. When I think of dealerships in Chicago, I also think of them as sort of like celebrities. I mean, we think of, you know, the commercials we see on local television from Solosi Edelson to, you know, down the line. And McGrath is a part of that. Talk about the idea of being a dealer and owning dealerships in Chicago. What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, the celebrity thing that comes along with it, I'm not necessarily prepared for sometimes, but I'm still enamored by how our jingle, you know, when you do the math, you choose McGrath and people meet me for the first time, it's the first thing they'll say to me. And, you know, I guess at some point that's when you know you've made it and you're doing well and you've made an impression on people that they're not going to forget. And I guess that's what really makes it special is being able to carve yourself out in that arena, as you said, slows the Edelson. I mean, that, again, somebody I admired as a child. You know, you always save more money in the cash flashing on the the TV. And Al Pamonte, another great marketer. And, you know, marketing is one of the key things in being successful.
What
no
are the
questions.
Other keys? Because, you know, it's not just about what's on TV. What's it take to run a successful business and keep that name above the fray?
Well, the obvious is always, you know, the franchise. That goes without saying. But even having the best franchises, how do you compare yourselves to, you know, your competitors that have the same brands as you do? And that's where I think it becomes the people. And hiring people, training people, getting people to commit to the values that you run your store by. And they're your front line. I can't meet every single person that comes in to service or sell a car to. But if I can push the values of how I'd want that customer to be treated through our salespeople, the people we hire, through our receptionists, from the people who wash the car, who bring the car up and hand the keys off with a smile, you know, that sets us aside. Those little intangible things I really buy into, and I really try to preach in all the organizations we have.
It's interesting because a layman's view of car dealerships would be like, I got to go in there. You know, you hear the old saying, I got to be ready. These guys are going to try and take advantage of me. I'm ready to go. You know, when you know you're working against that kind of stereotype of, you know, people are already kind of got a chip on their shoulder coming into a dealership. How, as a dealer, do you deal with someone like that who's coming in like that?
I guess the same way a dentist deals with their patients. Nobody likes to go to the dentist. And we kind of take that approach is we really want to turn it into a service industry approach of treating the customer like a guest in our own home, treating them as an individual, you know, and not a person going through our processes, and give them a personalized experience. Everybody's different. Everybody's got different needs, different expectations. What they value out of the experience can range from, you know, how quickly it goes to how much conversation and personal attention they can get. So you got to, you know, treat everybody like they're a personal guest. And we need to not just have processes that, you know, people kind of run through the process of buying a car or servicing a car, but actually take an interest in what the customer wants. And when you do that, you build relationships. And out of relationships, you get referrals, and you get long-term customers that come back and repeat buy.
Let me ask you, we'll get back to the car show in just a second, but you know what I'm fascinated by is just the concept of what we see in front of us. I mean, is a celebration, because this is a celebration of the automotive industry. It's Chicago has been a big part of it. This is the biggest auto show in the country. But we've seen the automotive industry in Chicago kind of dwindle. Like, there hasn't been as much. We talked about sort of a lot of the more support stuff left Illinois or left Chicago. What do you think of the automotive industry in this area? What do you think of the current state of how it's playing out in Illinois?
Well, I think we made a huge step 2 years ago and got the state to relook at leasing vehicles. It used to be Illinois, you had to pay the full sales tax amount when you purchased a car. And in our neighboring states and 47 other states, you pay the sales tax just on the portion that you use of the car. And that was a big tax advantage, thousands of dollars, you know, from $1,000 on a $20,000 car to $2,500 on a $50,000 car. You know, and that's a lot of money over, 3 years when you're financing it. So we got the state to change their perception on that taxing method and got them to tax the payment only to try to get people to consume cars quicker, turn them over faster. The average, you know, car on the road here in Illinois is 11 years old. 72-month and 84-month are the fastest loan terms growing in this state, where leasing is exploding in other states. So people are buying and investing in their cars longer, which means that the secondary market for used cars becomes very poor, and we're importing cars from other states to fill the need for 3-, 4-, 5-year-old cars, where their states are getting the tax benefit of that. So we worked with our state legislator and built a model that it showed that, you know, leasing cars could be advantageous to the state and the consumer, and both people would win, and we got it done, and hopefully we're going to turn that cycle around.
So let's talk about where we're at right now. As you see it move forward, I mean, gas prices obviously play a big role in what you guys do. You're seeing the gas prices drop, especially in the Chicago area. For a long time, we were ahead of the curve when it came to the average in the country. Now it looks like we're even dipping below that, plus some of the things that we see here in the auto show when we talk about hybrid technology or even driverless cars. I mean, there's a lot that's coming up in the next decade.
There is a ton that's coming up in the next decade. It is going to change more in the next 10 years, I believe, than it's changed in our lifetime. We are going from high-efficient combustion engines into battery technology that has kind of, you know, bridged the gap in emission standards to fuel cell vehicles, which are going to be onboard hydrogen combustion that is going to revolutionize the transportation industry. Just on the engine side of things, the automated driving, is the next step. I mean, you can't buy a new car today without the car having warning lights fly on, the brakes automatically, applied if, somebody runs out in front of you or somebody slams on the brakes in front of you and you're not aware.
Right.
I mean, the car stops itself. Every time I touch a line on the road, my steering wheel vibrates. I take my eyes off the road and alarm sounds in the car. It knows I'm looking at my phone or the rearview mirror. So this is all just the first step into fully automated cars, which Google and Apple have announced a 2020 start date to that.
Let me ask
technology.
You about that, because technology companies are getting into your business, I mean, automotive and the idea of driverless cars. Are we going to see in the future of the Chicago Auto Show, when you've got Honda and Chevrolet, and you've got Toyota and Kia, and now you're going to see Apple and Google and Facebook and everything else involved? I mean, are we going to see an explosion of the companies that are presented in shows like this?
Well, I think there's going to be an explosion of partnerships, no question. The resources that Google and Apple offer the automotive industry are unparalleled. They have the means, the technology, the advanced sensor systems that can track everything that's going on around you. I mean, look at how far the navigation system in our phone or our car has come in 4 or 5 years. It used to be able to be the fastest route on, what the speed limit was, or the fastest route based on the shortest distance, but now we have technology that's monitoring everybody's phones. They know how fast they're moving, where they're at.
It's amazing. And where the construction's at, where the slowdown is.
Yes.
The thing. So as we look as more and more people are filing past where we're broadcasting here live at the Chicago Auto Show, Mike, what are they here for? Are they aficionados of cars? Are they here because it's a great date night? I mean, what are they here for? Are they here to buy a car? What do you think that people come to the Chicago Auto Show for?
Well, there's no question that all those answers are correct. I would guess on a night like this, everybody's here because the cars are the stars. I mean, they're out. It's cheap entertainment. It's $12 to get in if you pay full price. You can go to your local dealer or gas stations around Chicagoland and get half-price tickets. It's really an inexpensive way to get out of the cold in February, even though it was a beautiful day today. But look at all the people here. There's thousands of people here. There's a million square feet of room, so it doesn't even seem that crowded. We could certainly handle even more. But it's 72 in Brighton here, as we said earlier. And usually in February, last 3 years, two of the last 3 years, we've had polar vortexes to deal with. And
now
it was a great
vortexes,
excuse then.
Yeah.
But, the cars are the stars. I mean, you can see almost every single car on the market under one roof today, tomorrow, and Sunday.
Let me ask you this. I'll wrap up and let you go here. I know you're busy. But when one of the retailers come in, or one of the brands come in, like Honda or Chevrolet, who's right in front of us, when they buy, is the goal for them to show every car they have, or talk about the is it more about we should roll out the concept?
Well, it's both. They want to support what they're manufacturing and what they're marketing today. There's no question that every manufacturer is here because they want to put a starting process of you purchasing one of their vehicles. But they also want to captivate you by what's moving forward. Not everybody here today is going to buy a car in the next year. But they may be here because, again, it's entertainment, it's fun for the whole family. But they're going to be thinking about a car next year or the year after. So you also get to see what the future looks like and kind of, again, plant that seed for what you may want next. So they do a little bit of both.
Mike McGrath is the co-chair of this year's Chicago Auto Show. Of course, McGrath dealerships all over the city. McGrath Lexus, my fave on Elston right there, because that's where I put my baby seat in. So they can, you guys do the, you're one of the official places that you can put the baby seats in.
Yes, yes. We do that as a free service to anybody in Chicagoland who pulls into our store and wants a certified person to show them how to use their car seat. We think it's, again, a great way to give back to the community. And as a parent, I know how important a safe car seat is.
I my confession is, and please tell your guy I'm sorry, but I came in kind of going, I think I put it in wrong, where I didn't really do much work. I just wanted him to do it. And it's terrible, but I know everybody does it. But I was like,
okay.
It's left and right. I don't know how it works.
Well, yeah, listen, you're not the only one, and that's why we're there. We want to help.
Mike, thanks for congrats on the auto show, and thanks for coming by.
Thank you. I really really appreciate you guys sponsoring us and being out here tonight.
More to come here at the Chicago Auto Show here on the Download on WGN Radio. Stay with us. Live here at the Chicago Auto Show, I'm Justin Kaufman. Rob Martyr, you there?
I am here.
Rob, I asked Mike McGrath about your car request. He said, just come on down. He said, come on down, and he talked to you about it.
You'll have the paperwork ready, right?
Yeah, no, just, you know, like we talk, he's more comfortable in his office than he is here.
That's fine. You know what? Mike's a good guy. I'll go down and talk to him.
just whatever. Just make sure you bring your checkbook. It's a Download live from the Chicago Auto Show. All right. WGN 720 WGN Radio Chicago. It's great. We're here till 10 o'clock tonight. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with Steve Gadlin, the frying pan, 312-981-7200. Yay or nay on his newest idea. He promises tonight that it's going to be car related. How fun is that? Well, we're broadcasting live from the 2016 Chicago Auto Show here at McCormick Place, and that means that there's a million. I mean, you're just watching people walk by, and like I said, we're kind of elevated up here, so I don't really get a chance to be down with the folks, with the people. That's why we sent Pete Zimmerman down on the floor. Pete, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah.
Pete Zimmerman.
Man,
all right.
Of the people.
You are. I'm glad that you're the guy we sent down, because of all the people at WGN, you are the most man of the most people.
Indeed.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. All right, so Pete, you know you had one job to do, and that was to find the best concept car. So go ahead and tell us where you at. What car are you sitting in right now?
Yeah? I didn't get to see any of those.
What do you mean?
I didn't actually get a ticket into the show.
All right, so what?
Just kind of browsing around the outskirts.
Yeah. Huh. Well, that's like by the fudge shop?
Yeah. Actually, yeah, the fudge shop. It was hopping earlier, but it doesn't seem like it's getting too big of a crowd right now. I'm going to go over here and see what's happening. Let's see. They have chocolate, a lot of peanut butter.
Uh-huh.
Hey, how's it going? How's the fudge sales going today?
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good fudge sales so far. What's the biggest seller?
Today it's the Oreo. Sold like 3 trays so far.
No, black and white coming together.
Yeah, I guess.
Very nice. What have you got? Have you had a chance to see any of the concept cars?
I have, and I've been stuck at my stand. So.
What time do you get off?
10 o'clock, I think, when we close.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to us and avoiding your customers.
Uh-huh.
All right, that's
fudge shop. Doing
so that's
fine business.
You can understand why that's a little bit disappointing that you're interviewing the fudge shop people at the car show. I mean, people, we sent you out to interview people about the cars, not necessarily the vendors.
I know. I didn't plan ahead and get a ticket. I tried, but they wouldn't let me in.
Okay. Well, I mean, around you, does it seem like people are enjoying it, like before they get in?
Yeah, everybody seems to be excited. They have their food, they have their funnel cakes, their pizzas.
Here you go with the food again.
Yeah.
You really, I mean,
I'm off sugar right now, so I'm all I'm thinking about is food.
You're very hungry hound. It is Friday night. You're like, let's review the food.
They have this whole section over here, Justin, where it is the It's the social media center.
Oh, okay.
So yeah,
very,
you know,
current.
Yeah, you picture that.
Trendy.
Everybody's on their iPads and their tablets and their whatnots.
Hey. Yeah, what's going on over there? Why don't you check out, see what people are doing? Are they just, what are they doing?
They're like sitting down eating.
That's very social media. There's nothing more social than eating.
We've got a gentleman here with a really nice Hester jersey on.
Okay.
But I don't see anybody. How come nobody in the social media center is on their social media?
Is anyone tweeting? Anyone
anybody
live
tweeting
right now? Anyone doing any Periscope? Anyone?
No, I don't see anybody Periscoping.
Anyone putting up any Instagram video?
Yahooing.
No Yahooing?
Nope. It's a little bit disappointing in the social
Nobody's
media.
Nobody's checking in? There's no check-ins going on?
Sir, how come you're not on social media in the social media center?
I don't know.
Just saw the nice couches and thought you'd sit down.
Yeah. Tell him he's got to check in on Foursquare if he wants to be in that area.
Sir, you have to check in on Foursquare if you want to be in this area.
Okay. I'll make sure I do that.
All right. Good, good,
mm-hmm.
good.
We'll double check.
Tell him I'd love to, tell him I'd love to share with him my location on Foursquare, because that's great. That's how social media works.
Yeah. Oh,
is
yeah.
anybody share? Is there any sharing? Are they sharing their food at least?
Let's see. I don't see anybody. Is anybody sharing their food?
Sharing is a principle.
No sharing.
Social media lounge here at.
Sir, are you sharing your food at least in the social media center?
Do you know how much this food costs?
I do not. I'm sure it's pretty cheap.
It's about as much as the car, a down payment, so.
Oh.
Really? It's a. What do you? Okay, looks like you have a nice little piece of sausage there. What do you eat, and where is it from?
Over back there.
Over back there. I love that place.
Oh, 3-star. Yeah. Over back there.
Mm-hmm.
Over back there.
Robinson's
got...
Rib.
Robinson's Rib.
Oh, Robinson's Rib.
Yeah.
Again, Pete, I think you're gravitating to more of the food coverage than the car coverage. I don't want to call it out. I mean, it is hashtag CAS16. You know, that's for the auto Chicago Auto Show, not the Chicago Food Show.
Yeah. I can't get in.
All right. Well, Pete Zimmerman hanging out in the social media lounge here.
That's
you got to say this is a real technological advancement that they have a social media lounge. I mean, it's so amazing that if you really could see everybody right now just on there.
It's like NASA down there.
It is. It's really NASA-like. It is.
Mm-hmm.
With Robinson's Ribs. That's the change.
I got to go because I want to go take my picture.
All right, Pete Zimmerman checking out the masses and what they think before they get in and what they're eating. It's a download live here at the Chicago Auto Show. Stay with us. It's a download live here at the Chicago Auto Show at McCormick Place, broadcasting live, where you'll find a million square feet of everything new in the automotive world. I'm Justin Kaufman. Pete Zimmerman is here as well. It was great. You know, it's funny because we started tonight. The way they do this, they have one elevated table. Like you're like on a riser above the entrance by the Chevy and the Honda section of the auto show. It was really interesting because it's kind of like Radio Row, but there's only one spot. So before we started, Lale was on,
mm-hmm.
and they were doing afternoons. It was a lot of like prank phone calls. I think it was all in Spanish, but it was. I thought it was funny. and they went right to 7 o'clock, and we had like during Martyr's news break, it was like the Indy 500 here. I mean, a car show. Yeah, it really felt like it was like, I mean, an unbelievable job by Bill. Everybody here to help out. The guys from Lale were great. My favorite part is they left the signs up though. Like in front, like the Lale signs.
Mm-hmm.
So for the first couple, for like the first half hour, they thought it was Lale, but like the English, like maybe this was like the special time, like the Sunday morning.
Like
they
the opposite
English.
Of SAP.
Yeah, right.
It's the English version, whatever that is. I guess that would just be
it's the P, you
the
know, you got to do different languages. I just do the one language. We're here at the auto show. I'm excited coming up at 9 o'clock. Steve Gadlin's going to join us, and we're going to have a car-related invention. He's going to kill it.
Can't wait.
I bet you this is the one, because there's a crowd here. You can ask the woman at the fudge shop what she thinks of it. Pete Zimmerman doing all the... I'm excited because, to be honest, today's a perfect day to be at the auto show, because earlier today, before the wind just wreaked havoc on all of Chicago, I got breakfast.
And I came out, and the car, my car, which is pretty old, was dirty because it's February.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just, it was dirty. And but it was nice out, and I was like, oh, look at this garbage. Like, I was like, I need a new car. Like, I said it, like, under my breath. I'm like, come on, you know. But it's really, I just need to get a car wash.
Well, not on a day like today, because everybody's at the car wash today.
Right.
You know,
that's
nice.
A good point.
Yeah.
But so, like, now here I am with all the shiny, like, these, I will say this about the Chicago Auto Show. All these cars are washed. They're yeah. all washed.
They do look clean. Yeah.
It does. I mean, I was joking with Lee earlier, but it does look like one of these is going to transform in, like, 5 minutes. Like, a Decepticon is in there, like, I'm awake! Wow!
It's weird because we're just in this one section, and
so
it's huge.
Yeah. I come here for the C2E2 for the Comic Con,
mm-hmm.
and they I when
what's
I came
your,
in,
what's your cosplay?
It's annoyed parent. My son, he dressed up as Magneto.
One of the Ninja Turtles.
He's one of the Ninja Turtles, X-Men, and he was great, right? And what I was so annoyed by was that, and I knew it was going to happen, but people want to stop and take pictures because he's a little guy, and
yeah.
they're like, oh, this is cute. And they just, but then you're like, all right, no linger. You know what I mean? Like, just this guy, like, dressed up like, kind of like Fat Aquaman, standing next to him, he's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, all right.
Move along.
Bit's over.
Yeah.
Where's my $5? Let's get $5 for this. So I was an annoyed parent. Yeah, but that's on the other side over here. And I was like, when that's on, I'm like, damn, this is huge. This is huge. This is five times the size, Pete. Like, they have, I mean, where the curtains were, I thought were concrete walls during the Comic-Con. There's, like, they've gotten rid of those concrete walls, and there's, like, more and more space. It's amazing how big this is.
No, it's beautiful.
Oh, it is beautiful.
I was disappointed that I wasn't able to
yeah,
get a ticket.
We should have thought ahead. I didn't know that you had to get ticketed. I thought a microphone would just let you in.
I thought, yeah, you know, because it looks pro.
My favorite thing about the Nissan, there's a Nissan setup over mm-hmm. here, is that they have a bunch of panels and it's mountains. So the idea is, they're like, oh, yeah, you like mountains? You like driving in the mountains? You can love Nissan. There's no mountains around here.
Go to Galena, isn't there something?
Right? That doesn't look like Galena, though. That looks like Breckenridge.
Yeah.
I think they brought the same thing from Breckenridge. They're like, you know what? That's fine. No one's going to notice. Just bring the one from Breckenridge. That should be right
yeah,
there.
Are,
that should,
those
yeah.
are unusual trees. That, you don't
that
see
should
around.
Be like 90. Like the Kennedy at 4 o'clock on a Thursday. That should be like what their backdrop should be. But it is amazing.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's incredible.
Like Lee was talking about being at the car show in 1977, to think about the difference in the way that they present. I mean, if you look at a Honda dealership right now, it's all video screens. You look at Chevy, it's video everywhere. I mean, it's amazing just the technology of the marketing that goes into attracting people. Because I've had a ton of friends. And I have some that are here. Actor friends and comedian friends that get gigs, I guess, being like circus barkers.
Like, hey, come check this part, this
yeah,
out.
Check yeah, check out this truck. Check out this whatever. Like, they get hired by the companies to come do it. And I haven't seen that yet. Looking around, I haven't seen any of that. And maybe it's just the luxury cars. Or, like, you know, not to be sexist from the 70s, but there were more showgirls.
Yes.
It used to be like showgirls
yeah.
that show off the new
mm-hmm.
Ford. You don't see that as much here. They cut back on that. They also have, over by the pretzel stand, a fake Shell station, which I think is kind of weird.
Like a gas station?
Yeah, it's like with the price of gas at $1.59.
Oh, that's fake.
It's all fake. Yeah. I hate to burst your bubble here, Pete. I don't think anyone's driving up to that Shell station.
We're in the market for a car because
are you really?
Because we need to get back to their station.
Oh, you and I are.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we have a 10-minute news
oh,
break
man.
At 10 to get back to do your interview.
All right, so we got to make a choice on which one of those shiny cars we're going to lift.
Which one looks the fastest?
I like the Chevy over here, the Bumblebee. I don't know
that's
what it is.
The Chevy Bumblebee, yeah. That's
whatever, that one that's Bumblebee from Transformers, Camaro.
Yeah.
That looks cool. Or the silver one, or the green one, or the red one, the white one. There's a lot of colors.
I have to say, I'm not a big car person, but we recently bought a new car. We bought a Renegade. You know, like commercial, yeah. which I didn't even realize was a real song from a real band. I just thought it was a commercial jingle.
You just thought, yeah.
But then, like, I was in a car, like an Uber, and they were playing.
They're playing like the mix.
They were playing the mix. Great. And it's great. It's great having a relatively new car compared to driving a 10-year-old car.
I know, that's where I'm at right now. Yeah. The same way. Yeah, you're right.
You're gonna love it. Every time you get into the new car.
Don't say that.
What kind of car are you? We get you into today?
Let's do a little role playing. I remember when last time I bought a car. This is what I did. I did just like McGrath and I were talking about. I'm like, I got real chip on my shoulder before I went in. It was a Honda dealership, and I was like, okay, I'm going in. I know what they're going to try to pull. I know what they're going to... My dad came out. I know what they're trying to pull. Don't try to pull that on me. Like, I'm looking at a car that can help you. Don't even talk to me. Because I know. I looked at it online. Like, I'm some sort of research guy. I research anything. I looked at the website, Honda.com. It's ridiculous. And we're like, yeah, I definitely looked at all the stuff. Come on. It's ridiculous. So I went in, and the guy came over, and he seemed like maybe he's a little new. And he was like... So same thing. What can we get you in today? And like, I already knew what I wanted. I go, CRV, right? This car, this one, right? Let's do it. So he sits down and I don't know, it was something with the finance. I forgot what it was, but a number didn't add up. And I was like, you guys, and you're trying to pull the wool over on me. You know what? I'm out of here. You know what? You're going to do that? I'm out. Let's go. And he goes, this is so great. He goes, okay. All right. Oh, I see here that you use Gmail. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, oh, what's that like? I'm like, that's like your common interest?
Yeah.
Like, I know what you're doing. Like you're taught. Like, hey, if something goes wrong, hey, that's a nice sweater.
Yeah, so
He picked Gmail. You use Gmail. What's it like? What do you mean what it's like?
I'm more of an AOL guy myself.
He's like, I have Yahoo. I'm like, I cannot work with a Yahoo guy. Let's move on. And then the guy came out, and it was all good. We bought the car, and I probably ended up spending more because I finally got talked down the ledge. But I was such a jerk.
You kind of have to go in, you know, standing firm. Because, of course, I don't buy any of our cars.
I walked out twice. I had to be wrangled back into the room twice, and I didn't get a better deal. So that tells you that all of it was for show. Nothing happened. All right. Coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour, Steve Gadlin will be with us. The frying pan, local inventor. He's the guy who did IWantToDrawACatForYou.com. He won on Shark Tank, and now he has a new idea for your car. That's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour tonight on The Download on 720 WGN live from the Chicago Auto Show. Rob Martyr, still no word on whether or not we can get you that car.
I want you guys to keep working on it.
We're working. Pete, I don't know if you heard Pete's review of the Fudge Shop. So he wasn't able to get in to talk to anybody about cars, but he could tell you what's Oreo fudge is actually a big seller today.
Yeah, so. See, in my Mustang Shelby, there would be no fudge allowed.
No fudge.
No fudge.
Also, nobody's actually sharing anything in the social media lounge, so it's just, you know, that's the thing. Only the things that Pete Zimmerman can bring us, he's bringing us from the Chicago Auto Show.
We strive to raise the bar here.
He really is.
Here at the show, Gadlin waits on the phone. It's frying pan time on the download. It's Steve.
Oh. It's a download here on WGN Radio, broadcasting live from the 2016 Chicago Auto Show at McCormick Place, where you'll find a million square feet of everything new in the automotive world. I'm Justin Kaufman, and if you're a listener to this program, you know our next segment. It's time to put Shark Tank Steve Gadlin into the frying pan. Gadlin, there it is. Gadlin is the brainchild behind the successful local business I Want to Draw, CatForYou.com. He presented his business idea on the television program Shark Tank, and he snagged Mark Cuban as a principal investor. So now Steve has to go back to Mark Cuban with new ideas. Before he goes to that pressure cooker, he comes to WGN Radio to jump into the frying pan. He's giving us an exclusive business idea so we can poke holes in it and give Steve the confidence to pitch it to Mark Cuban himself. Steve Gadlin, welcome back to the frying pan, buddy.
Thank you, sir. I love the song tonight.
Yeah, wasn't that great? That was a Pete Zimmer. Pete's on fire today. Did you hear his review of the Fudge Shop?
No, I missed it.
Yeah, that's Classic Gadlin. Didn't catch that. Okay, so for the listeners of the download, 312-981-7200, people know it. They know it well. And for people here at the auto show, the idea is that Steve is going to give us an idea, and we're going to give a yay or nay to the business idea or ask questions, right? That's also a thing. So 312-981-7200, they're already texting in, Steve, so that's good.
That's great.
Even though we haven't heard the idea yet.
Well, they know it's going to be a winner tonight, so I'm sure they're ready to give it a yay.
Well, why don't we get right to it? Steve Gadlin, what is your idea this week for the frying pan?
So, talking about cars at the auto show really got my mind rolling, and there have been so many automobile innovations over the years, really. Cars now run on electricity instead of gas. You've got cars that play your MP3s. And have fancy satellite radios. But there's one part of the automobile that hasn't really seen any innovation since cars were invented, and that's the horn, okay? So the horn is tricky. It's this loud noise that immediately invokes anger in other drivers, and there hasn't ever really been a way to politely nudge other drivers on the road to not necessarily say something angry or mean to them, but maybe to say, like, hey, the light turned green. It's time to start going.
Right. The more complimentary, the more friendly horn. The sort of like, hey, maybe you didn't see the light. Right.
Right. So what I've invented is something called the no honk tapper. It's a spring-loaded metal rod that sits under the base of the car. And what you do instead of honking is you release the no honk tapper, and the springs will shoot out the metal rod, and it will tap 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 tap. Onto the to the bumper of the car in front of you. So it's like a gentle nudge. It lets the person know that you need their attention for one reason or another, without the inherent anger and the bad feelings that come wrapped in that familiar horn honk.
Okay. So it physically touches the car in front of you.
Several times. So in rapid succession, it's as if you've unloaded a buckshot of BBs at the bumper of the car. It very rapidly tap 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 about 70 times in a minute, actually, to the car in front of you, just to get their attention in a polite, non-threatening, non-confrontational way.
All right. Well, I have questions, but I know that part of it is I want to hear from Download Nation. 312-981-7200. What are we calling this one, Steve?
The no honk tapper.
The no honk tapper.
That's right.
That's Steve Gadlin's invention for the made specific for the Chicago Auto Show. The no honk tapper. 312-981-7200. Like I said, I have a lot of questions. Why don't we do this? Why don't we go ahead and take a break? Because here come the calls. 312-981-7200. We come back. We'll start getting the yays, the nays, the questions for the no honk tapper with Steve Gadlin. Here on the Frying Pan, live from the Chicago Auto Show at McCormick Place. Stay with us.
Here at the show, Gadlin waits on the phone. It's Frying Pan time on the download. It's Steve.
There it is. There's the Frying Pan. It's time for the Frying Pan here on WGN Radio. Steve Gadlin is on the phone with me. Steve Gadlin, of course, the man behind IWantToDrawACatForYou.com. He won on Shark Tank. He has a brand new idea each week that he brings to the WGN download audience, and we give it a yay or we give it a nay. Steve Gadlin, what's this week's idea?
So we're talking about the no-honk tapper, which is a metal rod that sits underneath your car. It's spring-loaded, and instead of honking, which promotes aggression, it sends sometimes a stronger message than you want to send, in traffic, what this does is it rapidly taps the car in front of you. The springs shoot out, and it's as if you, unloaded, I say, a buckshot of BBs at the bumper of the car in front of you, rapid tapping to get their attention without the aggression that comes with honking.
Hmm. All right, 312-981-7200. What do we like? What do we don't? What are the questions for, what's it called again, Steve?
The no honk tapper.
The no honk tapper. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe I need to work on that name because it must not be as catchy as I think it is.
The no honk tapper. It doesn't roll off the tongue, but that doesn't mean that it's not good. It's not good.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Jeremy in Elgin. Jeremy, welcome to the Frying Pan. Yay or nay on the no honk tapper?
I say nay. So we skip aggression for pollution and flat tires on the highway?
Yeah.
Well, how does...
Okay, well, thanks, Jeremy.
I don't understand how either of those things come into play here. There's no added pollution. I said buckshot of BBs. That was just to compare. This metal rod stays attached to your car. It's just like a machine gun will rapidly tap the car in front of you. And it won't touch the tires. This will just tap the bumper. So, no, it trades aggression for, you know, when someone bothers you on the street, you don't get your mouth up to their ear and scream in their ear. You right. might just tap them on the shoulder to let them know. And this is the analog to that.
312-981-7200. Let's try some text out. 815 says, this is a bad idea because cars and trucks are different heights. How do you deal with mm-hmm. the height difference?
Well, you can aim it. So you can point it up and down. There's a little joystick that we install in the car as well. So, you know, in most scenarios, you're dealing with a car that's about the same size as yours. I drive a Hummer. So, you know, I'd have to aim down because if I use it on my Hummer, it'll break straight through the back windshield. So that's something we ask people to watch out for.
Yeah.
But you can aim it with the joystick, and you really want to make sure you hit that bumper so you don't cause any damage to the car. Otherwise, you know, it will defeat the purpose of limiting aggression.
630 wants to know, okay, 70 times a minute? Don't you worry that it's going to dent the car in front of you?
And actually, I said that wrong. I think it's more 70 times in 30 seconds. It's a very rapid style popping, but it's spring loaded. And I think because it springs, it has give the way like a suspension would. So before it would dent, it would just sort of bounce back toward your car. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the springs will do for it. So we don't foresee much actual denting or damage unless you hit the windshield, in which case it'll go right through it.
Right. 630 has another question, which is just about if you're dealing with aggression, they say you just dented somebody's car, you touch their car, they're going to get out of the car and kill you.
Well, okay, that's a big conclusion to jump to. No, I actually think, you know, again, take yourself out of the car and pretend this is two people on the street. It sends more aggression if you scream in their face than it does if you just gently tap them on the behind.
Right.
To let them know, you know, several times tapped on behind just to let them know that you have to tell them something. You know, this is for situations where maybe they didn't start when the light turned green. Maybe they're going the wrong way down a one-way street and you want to alert them. Friendly alerts, not angry, oh my gosh, you cut me off alerts. These are, you know,
right.
meant to be non-aggressive
different
alerts.
Different kind of angers, right.
Yeah, but the horn, as it has been for hundreds of years now, is sort of a one-size-fits-all tool that hasn't evolved. So, you know, driving and the emotions that go with traffic are so sophisticated, we need different tenors, right?
Yeah.
We need the horn for emergency situations and then the no-honk tapper to just politely let someone know you need their attention.
312-981-7200. It's the frying pan, the no-honk tapper. Is special for the Chicago Auto Show. We're broadcasting live from the auto show here at McCormick Place. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Steve, who's in Milwaukee. Steve, welcome to the frying pan. Yay or nay on the no-honk tapper?
Oh, definitely a nay. I was telling your call screener, you know, I'll tell you something. You know, a guy does that to me, and we're coming up to a stoplight. I'll tell you what, I'm stopping. I'm getting out of the car, and I'm going to knock him out. I mean, that's going to aggravate people more. There's enough road rage out there right now, you know, it's just going to aggravate people even more.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Thank you for that. Steve's got a great point,
Steve. I don't see that
Steve.
Happening. I think, you know, maybe this is the kind of thing I should be demoing at the auto show so people get a feel for
right.
how it feels to be no-honk tapped. Because it's not, you know, that horn is really startling. This is just, you know, it shakes your car as if there's a small earthquake. And that just gets your attention. It doesn't make you mad.
Let's go to Chuck. Chuck is in Rockford. Chuck, yay or nay on the no-honk tapper?
I'm afraid this is a definite nay.
Ah.
The only thing I can think about is when this metal rod is tapping my fiberglass bumper 70 times in 1 minute, somebody's going to find me a new bumper.
Right. That's a great point.
Well,
thank you. Thanks for that, Chuck.
See, I think, again, people are forgetting the history of the car. If you go back to the 40s or the 30s and you look at a car's bumper, of course it's dented up. That's why it's there.
the bumper is to cushion impact, and it's okay if it gets a little busted up. That's what it's there for. It protects the rest of your car from a similar fate. So, you know, I think we just need to get back in that mindset and see this as a polite, non-confrontational way of getting someone's attention on the road, or a pedestrian, too.
All right. Let's stay on the phones, 312-981-7200. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Mark. Mark's in Antioch, one of my favorite towns. Yay or nay for the no-honk tapper?
Oh, it's a definite nay. First off, you can gently tap your horn instead of just wailing on it to just notify people. Secondly, anybody that hits some stranger's car, that person, like Steve said, is obviously going to get extremely upset. It's like going back to grade school and someone flicking in the back of the ear. Yeah, it was gentle, but what do you want to do? You want to hit him in the face. It's just
right.
Just a really annoying thing to do.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks, Mark from Antioch. Steve, right now it's a definite. I mean, there's a lot of aggressive nays.
I think people are missing the point. I mean, it's, again, they have to remember how annoying it is to be honked at. And yeah, you can gently tap the horn, but I tell you, sometimes a gentle tap of the horn is more, people see that as a passive aggressive confrontation and get even more angry. So, yeah, okay, I don't know. Yeah. There's a lot of road rage out there, and I think a gentle, quick, rapid fire tapping of the bumper will not be seen as aggressive, especially with our marketing that we plan around this, just to remind people.
Well, I want to throw in, because I have a yay here. 630 says yay. Why not have multiple horn sounds available on the steering wheel? Soft beep beep to say light's green. Can I, you know? But they kind of say no to touching another vehicle.
Well, look, multiple horns is something I had thought of, but I'll tell you what the downside is. We don't want you to have to think in a situation if when you're honking or when you're using the no honk tapper, this is usually a pretty urgent situation. I don't want to add the few seconds of processing you need to determine which one of these buttons you have to hit.
Right.
You know, I want it to be no honk, no think, just rapid fire tapping the bumper of the car in front of you or the pedestrian that's crossing in front of you when they shouldn't be.
Right. All right, 312-981-7200. Let's get one call in before we get to the news. Let's go to Jim. Jim's in Crystal Lake. Jim, it looks like we might have just lost Jim. Maybe you answered his question, Steve. That could be.
Yeah, he's probably had a yay. So
we'll just count that as a yay. I guess that's how it works.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We're live here at the Chicago Auto Show. Steve Gadlin's on the line. Steve Gadlin, the man behind IWantToDrawACatForYou.com. He won on Shark Tank. He's bringing you new ideas each week. Tonight, the no-honk tapper instead of an aggressive horn. How about a little tap on the bumper? More with Steve Gadlin and with yay or nay. Hopefully, the lines are lighting up, so hopefully you'll get some more yays here. Steve, stick with us. We'll take a break. We'll get to the news. We'll come back with more of the Frying Pan live from the Chicago Auto Show. The number is 312-981-7200. We will get back to Steve Gadlin and the no-honk tapper. What do you think, Rob Martyr?
You know, I think actually Steve's falling a little short here. I think instead of the no-honk tapper, you should just really put those reinforced steel springs
right
on the front of your car.
That You're way you saying can, go all in.
Oh, just ramming speed. Just go for it.
Well, we come back, we'll get more of the texts and the calls. We'll also ask people here at the Auto Show what they think.
Here at the show, Gadlin waits on the phone. It's Frying Pan time on the download. It's Steve.
There we go. Live from the Chicago Auto Show. We're broadcasting live here at McCormick Place, where you can find a million square feet of everything new in the automotive world. I'm Justin Coffin. It's a download. And you know, it's Friday night, so it's time for the Frying Pan with inventor and innovator Steve Gadlin. Steve won on IWantToDrawACatForYou.com on Shark Tank. And now he's got a brand new idea tonight, specifically and special for the car show. Steve Gadlin, once again, tell us about the no-tap honk.
No, it's the no-honk tapper, Justin.
No-honk tapper, sorry.
That's right. So, you know, the one part of a car that just hasn't evolved in hundreds of years is the horn. What the no-honk tapper provides is a way to gently tap a car in front of you or beside you or a pedestrian to let them know that, you know, to non-aggressively let them know that you need to tell them something or you need their attention. What it is it's a steel rod mounted below the car with a steerable joystick in the car. You release that button and it will just, you know, expand, retract at about 70 times in a 30-second period to gently tap the pedestrian or the car whose attention you need.
312-981-7200. So far this hour, it's been a slew of nays, but we're hoping for some yays. So let's go to the phone. Let's go to Scott, who's on the northwest side. Scott, frying pan, no honk, tapper, yay or nay?
Yeah, I'm on board with it.
All right.
That happened to me once. I was getting on the expressway, and a guy in front of me kept stopping 50 feet from the car in front of him, so I tapped the back of his bumper with my car. The guy got out of the car, and he says, "Why you hit my car?" And I says, "Because you keep stopping 50 feet from the guy in front of you." And he said, "Okay." And he got back in the car.
Hey, there you go. It worked.
Hey, I went my way. It worked out.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for that. You know, there you go. Scott's give you a yay, and he'll take that.
And this is even, it's less dangerous than that because, you know, no one will have to get out of the car, and you won't have to have an actual impact. This is just the metal rod, the steel rod under the car will have that impact, so your car will be fine.
There you go. 312-981-7200. You know what? We're also here at the Chicago Auto Show, and there are people walking out as we get close to the end of the auto show. So we sent Pete Zimmerman down on the floor. Pete, can you hear me?
Hey, Justin. How you doing?
Good, good. So I want to hear what people who are here at the auto show who are inundated with concepts and innovations and inventions, what they think of the no honk tapper.
Yeah, it is packed. The throngs of people are piling in, piling out. I'm actually back at the fudge shop.
The fudge shop.
Yeah. I don't know. I was drawn to the fudge shop.
Okay, well.
So I was going to ask, is it Ribas or Reba's? It's Ribas Fudge in Mackinac Island, MI,
okay,
Michigan.
Right. Okay. Ask her about the no honk tapper.
This is Robin. Robin, what do you think of this invention? It's called the no honk tapper. Are you a driver? Do you drive around? And then when somebody's irritating you in front of you, what do? She honks, yeah. She said she honks. Well, instead of being so aggressive with the honk, because it's, you know, that's a very aggressive move,
right?
You would have something that would come out of the front of your car and that would gently tap the car in front of you.
What do you think?
What do you think?
I like it.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
That's a yay.
That's a yay. Do you hear that, Steve?
Yeah, that counts as a yay.
Okay, yeah. Great. Thanks,
Robin. I appreciate you playing. Best of luck. Are you here for the entire weekend?
Right,
or
right.
The rest of the show?
Okay, Pete. All right. That's great. Thanks, Pete Zimmerman, once again going to the same spot, to the fudge shop. We'll get back to
him.
What
I don't understand, though, is I'm a great salesman, and I'm pitching this thing a lot better, and I'm getting a lot of nays. And then Pete, really ineptly, just sort of poorly describes it to a stranger and gets a yay right away.
Yeah, so. He might be onto something. You might want to bring Pete in on the ground floor on this one.
I'm not sure. I think his salesmanship has a lot to be desired, and I think it's an anomaly that he got a yay there. So.
All right, let me read some of these texts because there's a lot of guys, a lot of long thoughts coming in here. 219.
Okay.
Be like standing in line and having someone standing behind you constantly tapping you on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Well, not constantly, only when they need your attention.
Mm. Okay. 773 says yes, and they have a commercial for it. Just tap in. Tap, tap, tappy. It's a jingle idea.
Yeah, you know, it's we've got some jingles running around, but we'll give that one some thought, too.
Okay. 224 says, if anyone touched my car in that manner, you are a child and you should not be on the road, period. I'd go the other route and I'd put a train horn on it instead.
Well, you know, again, that defeats the purpose. I think the horn has seen its last days, really. Once this invention comes out, I think people will see it as a more dynamic way of commanding attention that's a lot less aggressive. So, you know, it's their opinion, though.
Okay. 312-981-7200. Let's go back to Pete Zimmerman, who's in the social media lounge.
Hey, Justin.
Is at least there more social media happening this time around?
I found a person that was actually social mediating up a storm.
Okay.
She has got a phone plugged in to things.
Great.
She's got a computer out. Yeah, she's actually utilizing the social media center.
And did she have a thought on the no honk tapper?
Her name is Jackie. And so, Jackie, we have this invention. And do you drive?
Yes.
Do you use your irritating horn when somebody's bothering you?
Not really.
Oh. Well, what about this? Instead of the horn, which is a very aggressive sound, a lot of people don't like it. Like, why are you honking at me? Something, there's an invention that you have a device that kind of propels out of the front of the car and gently taps the car in front of you. Instead of the irritating
horn
sound.
No-honk tapper.
It's called the no-honk tapper. What do you think of that invention?
I don't know. I feel like that might make some people angry.
Yeah.
Hitting the car. But if I'm correct, it has some sort of spring device where it doesn't really dent your car. It's minor damage only.
Well, that's our assumption. We haven't done too much testing of it, but the assumption is because it springs, it won't do any permanent damage to the car in front of you. And even if it does, we got to go back in history, guys. That's what a bumper's for. That's why it's there.
Okay.
It won't do any damage. Would you still use the horn, or would you like the no honk tapper?
I'd probably still use the horn.
Ah, darn
okay.
It. That's a live nay. That's a live in person. And Pete's charming, and you could easily get a yay, and he didn't. He got a nay.
I don't think Pete could sell a fish to a fisherman that needs fish, if you get what I'm saying.
You don't sell fish. Anyway, okay, 312-981-7200. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Sid, who's in Orland Park. Sid, yay or nay on the no-honk tapper?
Definitely a nay. And there's a whole host of reasons why.
Okay.
Number one, we're talking about minor damage to other people's cars. How is that not aggressive?
Well, I think the appropriate word there is minor, so...
I mean, because, you know, successfully...
You're answering
in
your
other
own question, Sid.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said you answered your own question with the word minor.
Well, any kind of damage is, like, what would you say, like, I'm just going to go slap somebody in the front of the face just a little bit, you know, just, like, clap them around?
Yeah.
No, a slap is like a honk, and the no honk tapper is like a gentle caress on their shoulder.
What could be more gentle than the compression waves of sound?
Great point. Touche.
Well, no, that's certain frequencies are very annoying. In fact, we have a lot of defense mechanisms built into our genetics, specifically because of annoying sound. I mean, that's why when we hear a wolf howl, we know to run, because through evolution and genetics, those sound waves are perceived as annoying and scary.
Right.
Exactly. So instead of having a tapper, which is a very expensive attachment to a car, how about two different sounds on a horn?
Can you remind me how many times you've been on Shark Tank and had Mark Cuban invest in one of your ideas, caller?
All right, Steve, there it's
Steve. I've had absolutely zero, but I have traveled to other parts of the world.
Right.
Where I live in Orland Park, but I've traveled to India in December. Everybody uses the horn thousands of times over there, and it's not perceived as aggressive, because they just use it just to let everybody know where they are. It's kind of like the cars like
cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
and
this is fascinating, guys. Fascinating. Sid,
it can work.
Thank you so much for the call, Sid. Steve, I got to protect Download Nation. You got very defensive there. I don't like that, especially live at the auto show. You know, we don't want to get defensive here. There's a lot of people here that may not find that charming or find
well
that,
I'm talking about an I'm talking about inventions that save lives here, so
okay.
A caller sort of question my expertise is a little humiliating,
right,
and
well,
I may get a little defensive.
All right, well, 312-981-7200, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll read some of the stuff that you might actually get defensive over, some of the more colorful stuff that came in text and phone call here on the Download. It's the Frying Pan live at the Chicago Auto Show on 720 WGN.
Here at the show, Gadlin waits on the phone. It's Frying Pan time on the Download. It's Steve.
There it is, the frying pan live here at the car, the Chicago Auto Show here at McCormick Place. As we get ready to close up, just close this up in 10 minutes, right? You can see people coming out now. We will go till 10 o'clock, and then we will have some in-studio stuff at 10 o'clock. On the phone with me, Steve Gadlin of frying pan fame, this week's idea, the no-honk tapper.
Yes, sir.
So far, we've had a slew of nays and a couple of yays. I want to get through some of these texts. Before we get to the text, though, you know what? People have been waiting patiently here on the phone because we did all the stuff with the lady at the fudge stand next to Pete. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Kathleen. Kathleen is in Palos Heights, I'm assuming, or Palos Park. Which one?
Palos Park.
Palos Park. Okay. So, Kathleen, yay or nay on no honk tapper?
Absolutely nay.
Yeah.
If I pay as much money as I do for a vehicle, I don't want anybody else tapping it.
Whoa.
And I think you said something about nudging people. Any unwanted touching is a battery.
Yeah.
Well,
there is the law. Thank you.
That's
a great point, Kathleen. Thank you very much for that. There is the law. And that does...
I don't think this counts as unwanted touching the way she's thinking about it. I mean, this is a steel rod that will tap. You know, this isn't a hand being inappropriate. I don't get where she's going with this. It's better than honking at a person. You could scare them. They could drop their Jamba Juice. This is a metal bar that taps them to gently let them know they're in the way.
All right. Let's go to Jennifer, who's in Franklin Park. Jennifer... you're on the frying pan. Yay or nay to the no honk tapper?
I say yay.
Yay.
I think it's
a good idea.
I feel like people, you know, will be more aware of their surroundings. Now, some people are on the phone, and sometimes you just need a little, hey, let's get it going. But I just have a question.
Sure.
I just want to know how far the reach is of the tapper.
Thank you, Jennifer. Oh,
that's a great question. Yeah, it extends 14 feet. It's telescoping.
14 feet.
Yeah. Now, I'll say you want to make sure you're not tapping something that's only a couple of feet in front of you because it will attempt to extend that full 14 feet.
That's interesting information.
And there's enough spring power to push a car into an intersection. You know, it'll shove it pretty fiercely. So that's something you don't want to do. There are some settings you can adjust for that, but it requires getting out of your car and tweaking a couple of switches. So... anyway, just something to be cognizant of.
Okay, well, let's go to the texts. Here we go. This is the end of the frying pan hour, so we get to the more colorful responses. 847 says, dumbest idea I've ever heard.
Okay.
708 says, tell him to use it on his forehead.
Oh, my. Wow.
So there's that.
You know, I think had we been there to do a demo of the no honk tapper, people would be singing all
idea.
Other tunes.
Yeah.
I think they're assuming some pretty frightful, situations here. When really, in practice, this is a very good product.
773's got a standard. We hear it a lot. Worst idea ever.
Okay.
847 says sounds
that
like
can't
he needs.
Be true every week.
Well, I mean, I'm not. I'm just going what I'm reading here. A metal 847 is text a lot here, Leo. A metal bar, you're not even going to feel it on a plastic bumper, you idiot. 847 says no, bad idea. 847 says this guy doesn't have any expertise, he's a clown.
I don't have expertise at being a clown, if that's what they're implying.
There's never
been a clown.
847 says, this invention is ridiculous. The gentleman probably also feels like every child on a team should win a trophy, even for last place. Stop being so sensitive and drive like an adult.
I don't understand the connection there. I that's not an opinion that I hold. Definitely, I don't think last place children should receive trophies or their parents' affection. So, I'm not the person they're painting me out to be.
847 says, get me a lawyer because I'm going to sue the pants off this guy.
Okay.
And 815.
An idea. That's interesting.
Yeah, 815. I wish there was I lost one of them, which was really good wrap up.
I want to. Oh, this is it. Sorry, 219. I want to punch this guy just for hearing him tell everyone how wrong they are for disagreeing with him.
Well, look. You know, when you're right, you're right. And I'm sorry if I'm not being sensitive in the way I deliver that news, but this is the auto show, guys. I'm calling in the big leagues
here.
I'm not at the craft fair. I'm presenting a car idea at a car show, and I expect your listeners and the audience to be a little more knowledgeable about vehicles.
Well, the last one we'll do is 312 asks a simple question, a question that I think you can answer. Is this Bluetooth capable?
Yeah, definitely. This is Bluetooth capable. It does connect to your phone.
All right,
so
there you go.
So you can trigger this thing if you're not even near your car.
Oh. Well, I have to say that here at the auto show with the people who are walking out, a lot of nonplussed reactions, both children and adults who didn't necessarily go for the no honk tapper.
I think it just needed a demo. It needed a demo.
I'm not done with this one. Good. I think you should go back to the drawing board. Maybe we can do it. We'll do the auto show next year, and you can come down and actually do.
I don't need the drawing board. I just need to demo it for people.
Well, I think that we could talk to Mike McGrath, and we can maybe get you a spot next to the Nissan Mountains of Breckenridge and get you a shot here. So.
Okay.
Next
Sounds
time.
Good.
Steve Gadlin, I want to draw a cat for you.com and the star of Frying Pan. He gives us a new invention each week. We give it yay or nay here on Download Nation to give him the strength and the confidence to bring it to his principal investor, Mark Cuban. Doesn't seem like this one is going to be in front of Mark anytime soon.
You know, I'm saying we're gonna hold off on this one until I can put a demo in. I can't trust any of the yays or nays that came through today. So it's not dead. It's not dead. I'll keep trying.
All right. Well, Steve Gadlin, he's on every Friday night when we're on here in the Download. Steve, we'll wait patiently for your next idea. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Great. Thanks for having me, Justin. Take care.
We're live here at the Chicago Auto Show. When we come back, well, we're actually going to go back into studio. We still got to find that car, Pete. I think there's more chance to take one now that the crowd is thinning out here. Live at the Chicago Auto Show here at McCormick Place on 720 WGN. All right, a lot of people to thank here. We are wrapping up here at the Chicago Auto Show. The Download continues. We are going to be talking with BJ, the Chicago Kid, coming up here, and also Rick Addy from Shake, Rattle, and Read, the Uptown, the classic, legendary rock and roll pop culture bookstore in Uptown is closing. So Rick's going to come in, and we're going to talk to him about his experience in that place. I mean, his family's owned that place for 50 years. And BJ, the Chicago Kid, put out his record yesterday. Amazing, In My Mind, Kendrick Lamar, Chance the Rapper, so many others that are on his first major label debut on Motown Records. So we'll talk with BJ coming up after the news. A lot of people to thank. I want to thank Pete Zimmerman, of course, Bill Malone. Thank you, Bill. Krista Flores and Mike Heidemann back in the studio. And I'm Justin Kaufman. This is a Download. You can, like I said, we got another hour here. And we'll also be back on Monday. Don't forget about Pequod's on Tuesday night, 2207 North Clybourne. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. It's time for the news. Rob Martier, I tried, man. I couldn't get you a car.
That's all right. I'm glad you tried. Just bring me back that churro.
I lost the churro, too.